Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I'm Pastor John. The ministry of Headed Home is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find and answer the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
A good note. Maybe.
Thank you, Jessica. Now, see, I remember that growing up in the Presbyterian church with the pipe organ. Now, I will tell you, hey, Eddie wants to do a drive for a pipe organ. I'd love a pipe organ in here. A song like that, look, Eddie said, I want you to play it, though, Eddie. Pipe organs with those old hymns sound, that tells you how old I was raised. I was raised in a whole different era, church. When you went to the funerals when I was young, if you didn't have a pipe organ, you weren't going to heaven. I don't know if you know that. That's in the third chapter of Balonians. But I do love those old songs. When you're singing those, you can't help but think, what in the world? All of these words, there's a whole lot of meaning and depth in those words. You're not just singing a chorus. You're singing the whole entire front to back story. Awesome, awesome, rich, rich biblical history. All of it rooted in personal experience with the love and many times the struggles and battles that followers of Christ all throughout history have endured. And that's one of the things I was able to encourage somebody this afternoon. They were frustrated with people that were caring for them. And I just said, hey, not only what Jesus endured for us, but the disciples, you've had all these people throughout history that have endured terrible situations. And though we may think our circumstances are tough and we want to respond, I said we destroy our testimonies if we respond in an ungodly. It's okay to respond to things, but you got to respond in a godly way because it takes so long to establish a godly testimony, but it just takes a second or two to destroy it. I hope you have your Bibles tonight. We're going to look at Psalm chapter 40, Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 5 of a message titled, From Clay to a Rock. And it kind of piggybacks this morning off of the morning's message. And the title in my Bible of this set of verses is Thanksgiving and a Cry for Help. And that's the title that they have over that. But to me, really, it was a picture from clay to a rock. And it's just a picture of going from being broken, being stuck in clay. Our feet were in clay. We're in a dungeon. That's why I love that hymn, Long My Imprisoned Spirit Lay Cast Down in Sin and Nature's Night. One of those old hymns that just is the picture of how we are in a prison, a dungeon of sin. And until the Holy Spirit gives us the understanding and the ability to see that we are lost, we want the lost person to understand, we want them to get it. But church, until the Holy Spirit opens their hearts, they cannot get it. They cannot understand it. And the greatest thing that we can do is to be quiet and pray. And pray that God would open their hearts to the message of salvation, the message of truth. Because we can continue to talk until we're blue in the face and, in my opinion, do great damage. Very grave and sometimes grave damage to our testimony. And the ability for them, when God does open their heart, to be receptive to it, because we pave the way in our human side of trying to get them saved, as opposed to recognizing the power of God in that process is the imperative. And we cannot be God. We can't act like God. We can't try to do the work of God. We do what God calls us to do and God leads us to do, but we cannot do what only God can do. And that's by far the greatest work of the Spirit, which is what only He and He alone can do. But in Psalm chapter 40, we're going to look at verses 1 through 5 again. I hope you found it. And if you're able physically, let's stand tonight out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He turned to me and heard my cry for help. He brought me up from a desolate pit out of the muddy clay, set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and they will trust in the Lord. How happy is anyone who has put his trust in the Lord and has not turned to the proud or to those who run after lies. Lord my God, you have done many things, your wondrous works and your plans for us. None can compare with you. If I were to report and speak of them, they are more than can be told. God, thank you so much, Lord, for the beauty of your word, Father, the truth, and you are the way, the truth, and the life. Speak to our hearts tonight. Let your Holy Spirit have full and free reign in this midst to do what only you can do. Father, if there's one tonight that does not know you, Lord, whether it's in this building or watching online, I pray this day will not close until they place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, repent of their sin, and ask you to be their Savior and Lord of their life. Father, we commit all of this to you, and we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. By the way, what great scriptures. Amen. What awesome verses. Again, verse 1 and 2, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry for help, brought me up from a desolate pit out of the muddy clay, set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. The first thing I want to share with you tonight is out of those first two verses, and it's this. At one time, we were sinking in sin. We were stuck. We were done. And what's so profound about that is when it says there, I waited patiently for the Lord, he turned to me and heard my cry for help. You might think, well, wait, Brother Jonathan, you're just talking about salvation and the work of the Spirit. Well, wait a second. We do have a scriptural thing, and this is the thing. We want someone to want the Lord. We want someone to want to come to Christ. But if they don't have any desire to do that or they're resistant to it, we can't, again, can't do the work of the Spirit. But what do we know from Scripture? When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found. Is that not interesting? But the issue is that's coming from the person themselves. Not from us. We're seeking the Lord God, open their heart, let the Holy Spirit give them wisdom. But that is us compelling the Lord to work in their hearts. But a person that is lost, that desires to know Christ, can cry out to him, and the Lord will be found. That's what's neat, because when Scripture says that, when you seek me with all your heart, that shows that's a person that is lost. That's someone who does not know Christ, that God honors the desire to seek, desire to ask. What is it? Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be open. But at one time we were all sinking in sin, and that's a good analogy, a good visual picture for us to think. You know, our feet are stuck in clay. We are stuck. It's almost like quicksand, or that dungeon that I talked about. We're lost, we're broken, we're dead. We are dead in our trespass and sins. We don't even understand how lost or how broken we are, but that's the beauty of what God will do when we cry out to him, or that lost person will do, or what God will do when that lost person cries out. He hears those cries for help. He brought me up. That's what's so beautiful. He brings me up from that desolate pit, out of the muddy clay. So beautiful. What does he do? Sets my feet on a rock. What is that the picture of? Making my steps secure. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down right then. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Two polar opposite universes, yet very indicative of the wise man that's in the house on the rock in Christ. The foolish man, what? The rich man? What must I do to inherit eternal life? He built his house on the sand. Two pictures of success spiritually and fulfillment, and what the world would consider success, which was abject failure with the rich man. So powerful, so profound, but we were all like that. We all had our feet stuck in the sand, in the clay, in the mud, in the dungeon. We were lost and without hope. And that's why tonight's sermon, From Clay to a Rock, God takes us from the shifting sands, the clay, from the dungeon, and places us on a solid foundation. That's what's so beautiful about Scripture, the reaffirmation of God's truth, the reaffirmation of God's plan, the reaffirmation of God's promises, the reaffirmation of the covenantal promises of God to us as Christians. Beautiful, beautiful thing. It's one of the reasons it's so foundational that we spend time in God's Word, that we burn God's Word on our heart. And then the third verse, He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How many people can remember before you came to Christ things that you maybe thought about or things that you sang? I'm going to tell you one thing. If you want to talk about the absolute picture of God putting a song in your heart, it's my pops, my dad. My dad is always humming or whistling. If those people don't like that, would drive you bonkers. He does it all the time. There's not a moment that goes by that my dad's not in conversation, that he is not whistling, humming, or singing all the time. Anybody else do that? Okay. But I've not many, but you know, it's interesting because anybody know there's some scriptures on that, right? Is there any scriptures on that? Well, we got it right here. Verse 3, He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. May the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There's another one. Those are the things that when you delight yourself in Him, He gives you the desires of your heart. Your desire is to dwell and meditate and focus on Colossians 3. If you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. What a beautiful picture with what this saying right here with this new song in my heart and me having seen it perpetually demonstrated in my father's life, my entire life. Now, we used to get frustrated. We didn't let, you know, say, oh my gosh, come on, stop humming. My dad doesn't see that as disruptive or anything else. My dad sees it the same way a songbird sings. My dad is singing a praise and a medley and an act of continual worship to the Lord. He literally is doing that all the time. And I'm thankful for that because to me, it's a great demonstration of how you can delight yourself in the Lord, how you can set your affections on things above, and God will honor that. You know, it's better than a whole lot of this filth banging around up there in the old bean that's sitting between your shoulders, right? How many other things could it be consumed with? And worry, fear, and uncertainty, and all the other, what am I going to do if this? By the way, 99% of those things never happen in the first place. We allow the real estate to enemy to take captive the real estate in our minds about some stuff that'll never happen, when in reality, had we meditated and dwelt and focused on those things of the Lord, He would have taken our thought life from the clay and He would have put us on a solid foundation, something solid to think about, something solid to meditate and live in a perpetual state of worship versus a perpetual state of manifesting something that is completely the polar opposite, the contradiction to worship, which is worry and fear and all those other things. But see, the second thing I want to share with you tonight is this. Jesus lifted us out of the clay and set us on a firm foundation. Are you sitting on that firm foundation? Are you resting in that firm foundation? Are you reiterating the biblical promises? Maybe you don't know many. Hey, I can promise you there's a number of the songs that we sing here that can get stuck in your mind. Sing them. Sing them subconsciously. Hum them. Whistle them if you can still do it. By the way, if you get Botox, what we're going to do one night is make everybody come up here and whistle. We're going to know who's had Botox in here. You know that? If you've had Botox, you can't whistle. It's over. Look, I see we got all these excuses now. People don't know that. That's a dead giveaway for you. If I ever say, why don't you whistle for me? Where'd you get it done at? What? Amen. No, I'm not going to tell you where to get it done. Jesus lifted us out of the clay, though. He set us on a firm foundation. Hey, meditate on the things of the Lord. Focus on the things of the Lord. Remember that you've been brought from the clay. You've been brought from a dungeon of darkness, and you've been set on a firm foundation in Jesus. God has blessed us with the ability to dwell on those things, to meditate on those things, and he's also given us the command to do that. We're not supposed to focus on this foolishness in this realm that we can't do anything about. It is the, again, law of diminishing returns. The more we do it, the less we get back. We are engaging in an act of insanity, doing the same thing over, expecting a different outcome, unless someone in here can testify to me how worry changed to the positive and outcome that you had. Go on, I give you the floor. Jeff, we got to get those, was it Jeopardy thing? Right? Get a little sound clip for the crickets. We'll never have anybody who's going to say that because it doesn't. No one in this building or on this planet, for that matter, has changed anything with worry. It has done nothing but hurt them. It's robbed them. It's taken away from the if nothing else, the fulfillment in their life, and has made them sit and worry about things that they could not change. One of the greatest things we can do is when we begin to worry about something, pray. Pray about it. God, you know my heart right now. You know I'm battling worrying, and I realize, God, that when I worry, what I'm doing is I'm calling into question your promise to take care of everything that I have and to deal with everything. Lord, I confess the sin of my beginning, the birth of worry right now in this situation. Father, I confess it as the sin that it is. Lord, forgive me of this. Lord, condition me every time I begin to want to worry and allow me to rest in the promise of you that, God, I can't add one day to my life. Lord, I'm not going to take one day away from my life by allowing worry to captivate me so that I end up having a stroke or some physical condition that is birthed out of my sin of worrying. God, I give it to you. Lord, I completely, unequivocally, hands down, I purpose right now going forward not to worry about anything but to pray. And the moment I begin to think about worrying, Lord, let me begin to pray. Let me be overtaken by a heart and a mindset of prayer, thanksgiving, I call it PAX, praise, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Get yourself the PAX method. It works really well, and you can go through and begin to pray with that stuff, and then you don't forget. That's the way that you can make sure that you praise him first, you adore him, you confess your sin, you adore and praise, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then supplication, your needs. Isn't it interesting how needs are last? Isn't that interesting? Needs are last. You know that needs are and should be last? Why did I say that? He already knows everything we need. That's why it's at the lowest place, because he already told us, I'll supply all. We already have that promise. If anything, all you have to do, that's why we praise him, because we already know he's going to do it. We adore him because he's awesome. He's a wonder-working, mighty, powerful, faithful, loving, compassionate. We can go on and on. That's why we adore him. We confess sin because that's super important. We thank him. And then we tell him what we need. All we're doing is doing that really for our benefit. God already knows. He's so good. He is so faithful. And then verses 4 and 5. How happy is anyone who has put his trust in the Lord and has not turned to the proud or to those who run after lies? Lord, my God, you have done many things, your wondrous works and your plans for us. None can compare with you. If I were to report and speak of them, they are more than can be told. Third and final thing I want to share with you tonight comes from those verses, and it's this. God has been so good. He deserves all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And by the way, think about verse 4. How happy is anyone who's put their trust in the Lord? You ready? So you got that. You put your trust in the Lord. And then there's a clarification in this. And has not turned to the proud or to those who run after lies. Because the person that maybe has put their trust in God, they've been happy because they have put their trust in God, but then they turned to the proud or they ran after lies. Well, that steals the happiness, doesn't it? This is one who's done that, but then didn't fall for the ruse or the enemy's trap and deception of trying to get them to turn to the proud or those people that run after lies. And see, Lord God, you have done many things, your wondrous works, your plans for us, none can compare with you. If I were to report and speak of them, they are more than can be told. Anybody ever thought in here, when you really sit down and think about it, how much you can thank God for if you actually went through and thanked him for everything he has done? Well, we know that when I just shared with you, that guy had a physical demonstration of the supernatural protection of God with his daughter as that guardrail passed within inches or potentially centimeters of her head, and it could have removed her head. This is what we don't think about. Do you know how many times the angels of God protect us in any given week? There is a potential that that could happen hundreds of times, and you don't, and I don't even have a clue. We don't even think about how good, honestly, we don't really reflect and meditate on how good God's been. I do not think nearly enough, if in some cases with people, ever. When you turn on your water and you realize the millions of people all over the globe that aren't going to go into a house tonight that is not only climate controlled, but that has running water in it, that has a toilet. Do you know how many people tonight that don't have hot water? I watched a documentary this morning on homelessness, and each one of them is exclusive to areas of our country. You don't even realize, church, I don't know, maybe you do. Does anybody in here realize how severe? I'm not talking about, you just read a report on it. Have you actually seen the pictures? Have you seen the video of the extent of the homelessness crisis right now in America? I'm not talking about people that did drugs. I'm talking about people just like you and me who sat in churches just like this with middle and many cases upper income jobs, and through a series of medical things or loss of a spouse, something happening to a child, they are living in a tent on the side of the road. We don't realize how blessed we are. And I know right now, tens of thousands plus all over this nation that were just like you and I are living in tents in abject poverty, with no opportunity right now or no hope apart from God of coming out of those situations. If you'd like me to, please let me know. Some people this morning when I mentioned it asked me, and I sent videos to them. I'll be glad to send you the whole litany of them, because I can send you the ones unique to every city in this nation. It's everywhere. We often think, oh, they're homeless. If they would just get off their bottoms and go work, it's not that easy. Ready? There's many people that are what's called underemployed. Now, one of the things that bothers me, our government's not done a good job to get a pat on the back from me, because I don't know if you know this. Does anybody in here have a second job? Nobody in here does? Does anybody in here know what happens when you get a second paycheck? Let me tell you what they do. I know this firsthand. They take you to the cleaners. You actually have to mark whenever you go to work somewhere, if you get a second job, that that's a second job. And they actually tax you more. Substantially more. Do you think you're working a second job just because? I don't know what it takes for someone to go, you know, most likely if somebody's working a second job, they're not making enough at the first one to fully support everything. and they're having to do something else to supplement, would you not believe that? Would that what you guys' thought process might be? I don't know why the powers that be don't recognize that. And they take you to the cleaners now if you have a second job. This is one of the things that's causing people to be, it's the underemployed, overworked is what it's called culturally. So this is how these people that are really good, solid American citizens like you and I that vote and do the right thing find themselves in those positions. And I watch, listen, person after person they're interviewing. I've watched so many of them in the last, you know why I want God to give me the ability to pray and be so thankful for what I have and the blessings of God? Because church, it's a tough situation out there. And I know each one of you has experienced the battle with inflation right now. If you're buying groceries, maybe you have a way to get them that we don't. But if you're buying groceries with something called money, you know right now that that dollar, just in the last 3 years that used to go real far, it's not even going halfway as far as it used to go. Am I talking to, y'all understand? Okay. Just shake your heads at least so I make sure, if I'm the only one experiencing this, tell me where you're shopping. Because this is a real issue in our culture right now that's leaving people in a place that they don't know what to do. And we don't realize, if you don't have health insurance or you're underinsured, God forbid you have a medical crisis, all you've got to do is have a heart attack, church, it's over. You're talking about $300,000 to $1 million that fast. What do you do? Especially when, what do? Garnish your wages. What happens when they start taking half your paycheck or whatever they've figured out to do when you've got $1 million? You're stuck. That's why this attitude of Thanksgiving I'm talking about and realizing how God is so faithful to us. I want God to create an attitude such of thanksgiving in my heart where I continually am thinking and thanking him. And also praying for those that have not been addicts. So, you know, that's a natural, in the past in our nation's history, it's been an issue of, and I know this, it's been an issue of addiction. It's been an issue of really bad choices and doing things, but it's not like that anymore. There's people that have really worked hard, that have done the right thing, that have gotten in extremely tough circumstances. And number three, God has been so good. He deserves all the glory, honor, and praise. Do I believe that God could allow one of us to go homeless and use it for his glory? Absolutely. If that's God's plan, I'm fine with it. But I want to make sure as I sit here in the position that I do, where God has met the needs, God is so faithful, God has been, he does exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, that I remain in a place of intense thanksgiving, because I don't want God to have to take me to school. I know very dear friends right now, some very dear friends that have had to be educated. I'm talking about people that had way more than I'll ever dream of having. That back many years ago, I said, you know, do you ever really understand what thanksgiving is or faith is when you have what you have, because you've never experienced not having? Never really thought about it. I said, what if God had to bring you down to nothing so that you can realize what it's like to live hand to mouth? Well, I wouldn't like that. I don't ever want to experience that. I said, you know, make sure you stay in that position and attitude of thanksgiving, because it can happen. We're not 4 years later. This person's been brought down to nothing. And I said, remember these conversations we had? This is the greatest place of growth, but they're having to finally learn what it means to have faith. Because again, faith is nice to throw. Oh, I got so much faith. Easy to say when you got 50K or whatever in a bank account. Hey, $1,000 in a bank account. It's easy to have faith, right? Because if I have a need, well, yeah, I'll meet it from the excess that I have. But when you're the widow with the mite, That's where faith starts to come in. Because there is no more after that. There's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else to turn. You've given him everything. I ask you, do you recognize where God's brought you from the clay, set you on the rock? Are you living with the life of God? I not only realize that, but God, I realize every day the protection you afford me. God, I realize that even in a city of Mumbai tonight, there's people living in cardboard shanties. Father, you could have put me there. I don't know why, God, that I won, you know, the lottery in a sense of being born and raised in a nation like this, given what most people will never have. When we were broke, the brokest we were ever have, you know, what is that, early college, right? You know, just getting married, you don't have three plates between you and four spoons, right? Don't even have forks and knives. You know, those times in life where you don't have anything and you go, how in the world are we ever going to be able to buy some furniture? You went down to Dollar General and bought some plastic chairs to put in your living room, or in the 70s, the blow-up furniture. Anybody remember that phase? Huh? Honey, why'd you bite the couch? We only had 30 minutes after that. You know, you got down there, what is this thing really made out of, right? The next thing you know, you're sitting on the floor. There's people that, I mean, that you remember those times in life when you didn't have anything, and you had, whether it's plastic furniture or some hand-me-down furniture, and you go, how in the world are we ever going to get from where we're at right now to having something? And you ever faithfully continue to serve the Lord, and you honor the Lord, and you glorify the Lord, what happens? One day you wake up and go, how did we ever get here? It's the blessing of God. It's not your power. It's not my power. Not our strength. Not yours. No. It's his blessing. You don't turn on your water today and say, you know what? Thank the Lord for Bedford County Utility District, because if you do that, you ain't got no water in the first place half the time. I know we don't on the other end of the county. I'm just thankful the days that we do have water. We were out this week again. Yeah, whole day, no water. I called the water department Monday morning at 2:15. Hey, y'all got a problem up here? You're on Hannah Gap? Yes, sir. I'm the first one that always calls. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. No, everything's fine. No, got full pressure. You got a problem coming. No, we hadn't had nobody call. We're doing really good. You're getting ready not to be doing really good. Oh, I'll let you know. So I go down to my pump house and turn my pump off so it doesn't fry itself once again. Get up there, and he's called me back. We lost pressure out there. Oh, really? I had no idea. And it was a whole day, once again, with no water. See, God's reiterating to me the importance of being one of two things. The importance of being thankful for the water that I have, or God's going, when are you going to call Coy Landers and have him drill a well? I haven't figured out where God's taken us with that one yet. But it has given me a great sense of thanksgiving. I'm not exaggerating. Every time I turn on that water, I say, thank you, Lord, for the water. I do. I believe Emily gets in the shower and says, Lord, please let me get the soap out of my hair before it goes off. I'm not joking, because a lot of times it happens right in the middle of a shower. But I don't want God to have to teach me the lesson of thanksgiving by removing the blessing of God from us. I don't want God to have to take someone important to me to teach me the importance of being thankful for the people that I don't want God to teach me hard lessons because I refused to thank him during the good times for all that God has. I don't want to wait and thank God for the health that I've had to the extent that I've had it. By one day, when everything's going downhill, only to look back and wish that I would have thanked God for the health that I had at the time that I had. Because every single one of us are not getting physically better. We're all heading day by day a little farther to the day that our bodies are going to give up. And it gets a little bit more difficult as the years go by. You know this. It's incremental, so it's not as noticeable. It happens incrementally, very, very minute changes every day that are happening in our bodies that one day culminate in waking up and going, God, wow, you've really blessed me with many years of good health, and now I've got some things that I'm battling as this body reminds us that this is not home. This is a place that we are transitioning from into eternity. God's not prepared this body. Originally, it was prepared to be eternal here. But guess what? Mankind made that decision and changed the very structure that God had created in perfection and brought in what causes these bodies to lay down on us. That's what we know as those physical struggles, the battles, the hearts, the lungs, the congestive heart failures, the cancer, the heart attacks, all these things. God didn't bring that into us ultimately. It was sin that invited that in. But see, keeping our minds on that eternal focus of this is just temporary, all of this. God, I'm thankful for what you give me. I'm thankful for my family. God, I'm thankful for salvation. God, I'm thankful for the daily protection, the daily provision that you give. God, I'm thankful when I turn on electricity. You know, 110 years ago, I don't know how long ago, 120 years ago, I guess it's getting so fast now, you know, 100 years ago, 10 years ago, right? It was right there at the turn of the century. Now, here we are in 2024, so it would have been 1924. So electricity was gaining in popularity. But 120 years ago right now, church, you didn't walk in to Longview Baptist Church and flick the lights on. I'm sorry. It was a whole different time, wasn't it? They didn't have all the black. They didn't get in their cars and come to church when it was raining. They got out there on horses and buggies and got in the mud. And we don't even, as we're jettisoning down the road at 70 miles an hour, we don't realize what it was like 100 years ago. Have you watched any of the videos, the real, whatever they had back then? Have you seen the videos in the early 1900s when they're driving? I mean, there's ruts and the things are stuck. And these women all wore, right, those dresses. And I've seen it where the wife and the husband and the kids, and they've got somebody off the side that got in the car and they're all pushing it in the mud and they've got mud up to there and the dress. Can you imagine? But yet we get into a car, we're going down the highway on really nice roads. Church, we get into our beautiful little church that God's blessed us with. We don't even have to do like George L. Cooper did and light the fire in the morning to heat it up. We don't have to do what I did at Longview Baptist Church. In some cases, when I came here, we had part of it on timers, but in another part of it wasn't on timers. And we'd have to get in there and buildings, turn on the heat, and we're still blessed doing that. Now we don't even have to do that. You know what we do? Walk into the church, and it's nice and warm in the winter. And we walk into the church, and it's nice and cool in the summer. We are so blessed, church. Do you realize how blessed you are? Do you realize what God has rescued you from? Do you realize what he's brought you to? If not, I pray tonight that God would give you the ability to be thankful like never before, number one, for rescuing us out of the clay, out of the dungeon, out of the darkness, bringing us into the glorious light of salvation. But then up under that, the litany, the unending list of things that God has done in our life and blessed us with. God, ever give us an attitude of thanksgiving, gratitude, glory, and honor unto him. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. God, just the challenge of these scriptures, Father, just realizing how blessed we are. Lord, you have saved us. You have delivered us. You set us free. Father, not to mention all of the other, the running water that we have, the electricity, even health insurance, Father, the brothers and sisters in Christ and the blessing of fellowshipping together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, the children that you have given us that are over there in Life Points tonight that many times we don't even think, gift, God, that you have entrusted us with, Lord, out here in the middle of nowhere. Thank you, Father. God, I pray as we go home tonight, you would help us continue to reflect on all that you've given us and all that you've blessed us with. Let us live with a continual state of thanksgiving and praise. And Father, as we wake up tomorrow and go into our mission fields, Lord, let us be ever mindful of the ones that have right now do not know you as Lord and Savior, right now do not have the hope of salvation. Lord, place them in front of us. Let us share the good news of what you have done in our lives, Lord, as you, through the Holy Spirit, work in their hearts, prepare their hearts even now for the interactions that we will have with them this week, that we might share the hope of Jesus Christ with them and they may come to know the love of Christ themselves. May you be glorified, Father, as we go now. Keep us safe as we go. And we ask all you and you alone, God, all glory, praise be unto you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Headed Home with Pastor John. If you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please visit our website at longviewbaptistchurch.org and click our contact link. Thank you for joining us.